What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Kind of Funny Screencast. As always, I'm Tim Geddes, joined by the big dog, Kevin Coelho.
Wow.
Barrett Courtney, who must be extremely hyped and excited this weekend because he got everything he's ever asked for. Boss Baby 2 trailer. How you feeling about it?
What's the subheadline for Boss Baby 2?
It's family time or something.
Oh, God.
Family business.
I wanted
it to be
great.
Back number two business, but I guess it's too similar to what they used for the Netflix show.
Yeah. Tim, yesterday I had two helpings of dinner last night. The first helping was this really cool turkey dish that we had. It wasn't like an actual like full-on turkey, but it was like this really nice, so like this turkey pie, some really nice ham, stuffing. It was great. My second helping of dinner last night was at 12 o'clock last night with this episode of The Mandalorian, because we got some motherfucking food today.
We had to eat some good food, and of course we have Chastity Vicencio from GameSpot Universe.
Hey, what's up? I'm so excited to be talking about this today. Oh my god. Hi.
Thank you guys for joining me for this episode. I know it's a weird one because it is a holiday break. It's Black Friday. It's whatever you want it to be. Day after Thanksgiving. We're supposed to have today off, but we wanted to talk about Mandalorian because we knew that this show was happening. Real quick, I just wanted to say right before we went live, I started the story and I cut myself off. Kevin was saying that he pulled an adult move last night and fell asleep at 10:30. I pulled an anti-adult move. I pulled an Andy Cortez where two nights ago, Gia and I started Queen's Gambit and we watched four episodes in one sitting. Where I was like, this shit is awesome.
It's so good.
We binged through the entire thing on Wednesday. Like we took like a couple hour breaks in between like 4 and 5, and then we went right back in.
That's essentially what we did because we had to go do some other Thanksgiving stuff. And then we came back immediately like, we're finishing this out. We watched all of it. Then I watched Mando. Then I played more Miles. It's just what a great time. What a great time it is. Also though, Queen's Gambit. That is the most anime thing I've ever seen, and it is just the best.
Blessings, anime. Blessing tweet went like was like on the front page of a Reddit, like a subreddit. I forget which one it was, but yeah, him talking about like how it would just be better if they like went all Yu-Gi-Oh with it, which is the entire. I saw that tweet before I started watching it, and it was all I could think about when watching that show. But it was so good. The one thing I wish that they focused a little more on the actual chess games, but that's just me.
Nah, chess games are boring.
They focused as much as humanly possible.
They handled the before and after.
With the important games. I wanted like just
but,
a
like,
little
it's just,
like
it's so far above us. You know what I mean?
Again, it's just like a minor. It's a minor personal.
I think they nailed it with the before and after of like you see them those 2 seconds before they start, and then right when the game is either about to end or just ended, and it's like the character's reaction reveals so much about who they are, and it's just like what a show,
dude. Yeah, it's I actually watched the show because of Blessing's tweet. I saw that, I was like, huh, I see where he's like what he's alluding to here. So I need to try
several times
and
watch it.
Man. It lived up to it, absolutely. But that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about The Mandalorian Season 2, Chapter 13, The Jedi. They just fucking did it. We thought there was the rumors, and we expected this to happen, and then it kind of just happened. Barrett, I want to start with you, because you have been banging the Clone Wars Rebels drum for a very long time, and I feel like it's all led to this. Where you at?
It's led to this, and it has in a way. I really liked this episode. I was nervous about how they were gonna do Ahsoka live action, and it definitely took a little getting used to having Rosario Dawson play her, and it just like her being in live action in general, and not having like her usual voice and stuff like that. This was, interestingly enough, this was another setup episode. This wasn't the payoff. We got a lot of setup in this season to get to this setup episode, but it was still really, really good. Because there's a lot to talk about, not just with the implications of Ahsoka being here and what she's doing in this episode, but just like what happened in the episode itself was like really, really cool. Just a lot of cool action. I definitely want to talk about that, like that peak fight at the end, because there are really cool moments there. But I went in going nervous. I came out very excited for the field. Like, this episode alone wasn't the end all be all. This was another setup, and we can talk about later of like where I think they'll go with it. But overall, I was happy with the live action debut of my girl, Ahsoka Tano.
Kev, you being a little bit more outside of that stuff, what'd you think?
It was tight. They did a good job. They kept me, like, I really liked the fight scenes. A lot of good stuff the whole time. Maybe too much explanations about Baby Yoda and his name. Some people, you know, like,
hey man, don't hate on Grogu, okay?
Right. Some Grogu.
That's our Grogu. Son.
I don't like it.
His name is Grogu. You have to accept it, okay?
I'm gonna keep calling him the kid.
The kid. You've never ever called him the kid.
Yodelini is Yodelini.
We call him Yodelini, okay?
Yodelini.
Chastity. What about
a
you?
A child with many names. I think we got a lot of stuff in this episode that we don't usually get. We usually get bits and pieces, right? But I feel like we got a lot of food here today. We got like Baby Yoda's backstory. We got a name reveal. We got Ahsoka. We got connections to Rebels, Star Wars lore. Thrawn's name was thrown in the mix. I didn't know that there would be this much Ahsoka in this episode. The way that they were treating cameos in the past, I thought we'd get a little bit, or she'd be like a B plot, but she was the entire episode, and I'm stoked about that.
I was definitely nervous. It was going to be one of those things where we didn't see her until like the last 5 minutes. And to start off the episode with that fight in the forest, where she's doing these dope, like, she's almost like, she's kind of using the fog to disappear.
Scary,
but also
dude.
Using the force. Yeah, she was scary as hell. And again, like, this is our first time, at least in like TV or
live action.
Yeah, live action, mm-hmm. whatever, that we've seen her since her stuff in Rebels. And to see how much she is grown even more as a force wielder since then, because she was already pretty capable in Rebels. It's just like so fucking rad.
She left the Jedi Order, right?
Yes.
Yeah, she's kind of like in between. She's like not quite a Jedi, not Sith at all. She's definitely in that gray area.
She's
sure.
the closest to like the gray Jedi thing that people like want. Right. She is the closest character. We'll get to that.
Yeah, I think that everybody that watched this episode's first reaction is, oh shit, at the beginning, because it's like, I think that they very purposefully started with that shot where it's like, yeah, this isn't a B plot. Like, we're going, there's lightsabers, motherfucker. Like, we're going all out.
And I love, so cool.
So cool.
So good.
Love the commitment to just, yeah, this is going to be a story about Ahsoka. It's going to be more of a samurai take on Mandalorian than we've seen before. Like, usually we're used to like Westerns, and like, this is it.
There's definitely a good combination of the two, especially totally. With that end fight.
Yeah,
like, the juxtaposition of like the Western shootout that's like slow and tense, and the same thing with the almost like the samurai fight that we get with Ahsoka and that I keep forgetting her name. It was like Morgan something, but
Morgan Freeman. Yeah.
Morgan.
Yes, Morgan Freeman.
I just call her the magistrate because they said her name once.
Cool. Yeah,
magistrate's a like, dope ass word. By the way.
To come back,
it's better than her name, Morgan Elsbeth.
That's it, Elsbeth.
To go back and forth between those two, where one is like an actual fight, and the other is just like this like tension buildup. Was just really, really cool to see that kind of like back and forth, because obviously, yeah, we've talked about before of like there's a lot of Western inspiration here, and definitely some samurai
stuff,
inspiration.
Yeah, sure.
But to see it like so blatantly in this episode, I really appreciate it. I liked it a lot.
I thought it really worked, and I thought that they did a good job with the choreography of this entire episode, and like the blocking and everything just was very, very, very thoughtful. And I feel like they Filoni knew what he had to do with this episode. I think that he really kind of accomplished it. But all of the buildup, like, I do agree with Chassie that this is simultaneously an amazing setup episode and an amazing payoff episode, where I'm more into the show now than I ever was. And I feel like that's been continuing this entire season. And that's great that they can keep delivering that. And like, where is he going now? Like, who is he going to? And I think that that is so great that like they've set up so many different threads that we're interested in. Whereas last season, we just wanted to get back to the Baby Yoda plot line. Like, where's he from? What's going on? That's all we wanted. Whereas this one, every time it's like, I want to know what's up with Boba Fett. I want to know what's up with Ahsoka. I want to know what's up with Bo-Katan. Like, they're doing such a good job just kind of like throwing it all out, but keeping every episode continuing of Mando and the baby mm-hmm. moving forward.
Like they are, right? They are the through line. Yeah.
I will say though, that this is the first time this season that I was like, damn it, I wish the budget was larger for this show, because it is, I feel like it was just so ambitious that I'm not hating on it, because I think they did a really good job. I just wish that this one deserved more, because there's a lot.
This episode especially, there was this feeling of like, man, like they definitely did what they could in this episode. Like some shots, of course, like we get Ahsoka jumping and stuff, but like because of it being live action, they had to do some cuts where it's like obviously like Rosario Dawson just kind of like jumped a little bit so he could get her landing. There's like little things like that where it was like, okay. But yeah, they did what they could with this episode, I think, visually and action wise. But it was still like overall, I did enjoy it.
Yeah. So let's get into some theories and shit. Where the hell are they going?
So the next episode is going to be like go to the top of the mountain. Baby Yoda does something and
so
potentially it calls over people.
Yeah.
Someone in the chat just said they like were naming people that it could be, and they threw Mace Windu's name out there of like potential people that still could be alive. And I don't hate that. You know what I mean?
I hate that so much.
I don't think he's alive.
The stupidest lore things that Star Wars ever did. And sure, it ended up being cool. They made it all work, but it's dumb as shit.
If he was alive, I feel like he would have been brought into Rebels somehow. The planet she mentions is Tython, which I'm unfamiliar with. I did some research. It seems to be a legacy planet that they're bringing back into canon. I could be a little incorrect with that, but that's
first ever Jedi temple, supposedly.
Wasn't that in the movie? That was
the planet that Luke was on, I think, wasn't it? But that Tython might have been like Octu. What the first Jedi
official temple
was. In the like the legacy stuff, so they might be contextualizing it, bringing it back and stuff.
A key thing here, Barrett, before you go on, is that they said that like the backstory of Grogu is that it? Grogu. During Order 66, that somebody got him out of the temple, right? So they had to have been on Coruscant at that time, right? That's like all that we know. Yeah. And then theoretically they still exist, but they don't necessarily need to still be alive. So I don't know.
They could have died. Yeah. Just they could have gotten him out and then they could have been killed.
It sounded like then Grogu was captured and seemingly tortured, right? And that's why
we knew that.
His memory was dark. He was hidden in the bunker place. What happened between them getting him out and him being found.
That's like almost at the beginning of this show when he was found. That's roughly 40 years, I think, in between Order 66 and Mando finding him. So
it's a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, like who, even just top level, who could it be? Who are Jedi that we know are alive at this point or assume are alive at this point? There's Luke. There's
Cal Kestis.
Which would be fucking amazing.
You know what I mean? But
Ezra Bridger.
Wait, is Cal Kestis confirmed to be alive at this point?
No, but he's not confirmed any way.
Dead, yeah. That's true.
He's not dead. They could still be
alive. Who brought up Ezra?
I said Ezra Bridger. I'm like, Ezra Bridger? I don't know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people in play here from Rebels. But,
I don't think it will be
Rebels
Ezra.
Connections.
Because here's the thing is, and this will be like another kind of thread that we talk about with the name drop in this episode is this the reason I feel like this is a setup episode, because this feels like a I forget the official term, but like a soft pilot almost of a new Ahsoka show in search for this character Thrawn, and I don't want to spoil too much because of course before I say anything else, fucking watch Star Wars Rebels. I've been telling y'all for years at this point, watch this show.
It's
a quick binge. It's a quick binge.
Kevin,
you
haven't even fucking tried an episode. So
that's
please.
Not true. Oh my God, episodes. You don't know what you're talking about. You sound dumb.
Also, you have to hang in there. That's all he had to say. Like, he had no, like, other real proof to say that he's actually...
The show finds its, like Clone Wars, it finds its footing and up in season one. You got to stick with it.
And that's what I said. That's what I said last week, too.
Go, go, go.
Yeah. Is that Filoni shows, like, take a little bit and then, because, yeah, it took me forever to get through the first season of Clone Wars. And then it started getting good. And similar with Rebels, where, like, the end of season one, Rebels is like, oh shit, like, this is what they're doing. This is going to be really cool.
And season two will hook you in.
Yes. And so I don't think, because there's this whole question of like, is the Ahsoka stuff going to continue in this show or not? I don't think it is. And I think she's going to get a separate show. Is it going to be that rumored new animated show with two female leads, assuming to be Ahsoka and Sabine? Is it going to be live action with Rosario Dawson? Who knows? And so because I think that's going to be a thing, I don't think we get Ezra in this. So I don't think Ezra is going to be the Jedi that is called. It could be a dead Jedi. We could get a Force ghost. So that was kind of like where my line of thought went. It could be as simple
but
as
there's
Yoda.
Also, there's not that many Force ghosts, right? Because Qui-Gon Jinn is the one that developed the
Yeah, he was like the one who, like,
what?
The technology.
The technique. Ghost tech.
And then
we have the technology.
Yoda, Luke,
Anakin. Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan.
Yeah, Anakin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, like, I don't believe that Anakin, like, when did Anakin learn the technique and then, like, you know what I mean? Like,
he
I feel like
anything.
Anakin just got
He's
the free
Anakin.
Pass. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he can engage himself as a ghost.
There was a lot of time where he was doing like a lot of his own research stuff on
yeah,
the,
but he didn't,
the dark side of things.
He didn't know about it up to the point where he kills Obi-Wan because he
ghosts
clearly
can talk,
is like
though. I feel like once they die they can learn more shit. You know what I mean?
So, you gotta imagine that right, like yeah. Palpatine knew about that at some point of like the whole Force Ghost thing.
He knew everything, so yeah, probably. Yeah.
So dude, a key thing you brought up Yoda, Barrett. They did play bits of Yoda's theme. During the scene with Ahsoka talking.
I did.
It could
up
be Yoda.
That.
Although we saw Yoda in the movies. Like, that'd be, I mean, I guess they could have had all they would need to do is give us like a flashback of Yoda going through the crates. Kev, give me your impression. Thank you.
Oh, it's really good. It's like, really
and
good.
And it cuts over and he just grabs Yoda Leedy to go.
I don't know if it's...
He was doing it with his mind, too.
If the Jedi who is called, I don't know, it needs to be the Jedi that got him out.
No. You know, I think those are separate Jedi for sure.
Yeah, and the
Jedi.
Where was I going to go with this? The question that I have, because like now that we have confirmation that Yodalini was actually like a part of the Jedi Temple, was like kind of secretly brought out of Coruscant and stuff. Like, is there a connection to Yoda? In some lineage, there's also that other Yoda creature from like episode one.
Yaddle.
I forget the name of that. Yeah, that people
oh, yeah.
are obsessed
Never
with.
Forget Yaddle.
Yaddle. But it is interesting that Ahsoka said she only knows one creature like
they've been trying
so.
To retroactively.
Maybe she never met Yaddle.
Yeah, I imagine Yaddle might have died in between one and two.
I just learned this, but Yaddle just left the council after episode one, before Clone Wars. My coworker told me that last night. And then apparently, yeah, I think she died in Order 66, but off screen.
Because their species seems so rare in this universe, like, is there a connection there? I don't know.
The thing for me, though, is like really trying to think of where the show's going. I think it's interesting that we still have three episodes this season. Like, this wasn't the finale. It very much could have been, right? Yeah. So it's like, we know that we still have, like, the quest for him to take the baby somewhere, blah, blah, blah. But at what point is that plot going to change? Because I don't know that it can. Because the thing is, I can't imagine this show where the Mandalorian actually gives up the kid.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's like, even if he goes through
the
next
that is
Jedi,
the situation, it's got to be the last episode of the
series. Whole show.
And it's
yeah,
like
him giving
him
away
dying
to someone
or
else.
Something. Yeah.
So it's like, and this episode really built up the bond between them in a way that we've seen it and like
so
loved
cute.
It the last couple
when
episodes.
He went,
he's such a proud dad.
When he got
oh
the little
God.
Ball out of his pocket, I yes. was like, oh, I knew they were setting up for something, but you bastards got me.
Yeah.
Such a proud
they were
dad.
They were playing Jedi catch, man.
They were.
Yeah. It's just great, though, that I loved, you know, so obviously the allusions to Anakin and like the idea of all the fear like the, and anger taunting stuff. It's like, that, yeah. Oh, damn, she's, this is so good.
She still feels Again, bad about it.
Watch Rebels. Because she might learn, like, that show might be the show where she learns about that specific stuff. Watch
But Rebels. it's so good with the bond between Mando and Yoda, or and Grogu. It's like, what, where are they going with this? It's like, because I just feel like the end game has to be, he gives him away and that's the end of the series. There's no chance he just gives him to a Jedi and then leaves. Like, I don't know. It's I'm very happy that I don't know where it's going, because we have so many threads right now that I'm interested in, that I feel like I trust them at this point. They kind of have earned that.
Yeah.
I agree that it's probably not going to happen this season, that like they separate. Like that's the whole arc of this season, is them being like a father-son duo and wherever I go, he goes type of thing. So yeah, that's going to be the cliffhanger at the end when they have to separate.
I could see like a forced separation at some point, and maybe we get a little time without Yodelini and Mando trying to find him again. My question is, like, how with these threads, and I do like the not knowing where this is all going to end up. Like, the question that I've been thinking about, especially the last couple of weeks, is like, how long do we see this show going for? Like, how long can it go for?
I don't know. Yeah. It's interesting because, like, right now it's very much being used as a vehicle to legitimize Disney. Star Wars and legitimize the cartoons, really.
Yeah.
It's like Ahsoka is now a real character in people's minds, that in more people's minds, is what I mean to say.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's going to get a lot of people to watch Clone Wars and Rebels.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's like, I think that, you know, they're obviously doing that, but it's like there's not much more they can do. So at some point, we're already getting teases of like what Barrett was bringing up about the Emperor Episode 9 stuff, of like, okay, we're going to get some answers to questions we had about the sequel trilogy. But it's like, at what point, like, do we get Han? Do we get Luke? Do we get, you know, like, original characters, original trilogy characters in this.
We'll never get Han. If we get Han, here's the thing. If we get Han, it's going to be Alden Ehrenreich, and none of y'all are going to be happy.
It will.
That.
No, it 100% will.
I will be happy with that, because I personally liked him as Han Solo. But I just kind of had like this moment where, is Yodelini going to be essentially the part of the attempt of Luke bringing back the Jedi Order? Like, is he going to be part of that, like, class that Kylo Ren helped kill and shit like that?
Oh,
like,
God. What a tragic end that would
I
be.
I could see the show ending with, like, Yodelini getting to Luke. I could see that.
Here's all that I want. And, like, I know that at this point I'm just being a, like fan service-y crybaby. But, like, at the end of the day, isn't that kind of what this show is?
I
want, all I fucking want is at some point, I don't care where it is, I don't care if it's in this show, but I wanted in this show, just give me Luke with his green lightsaber. Can you please just do that for me? That's all the fuck I want to see.
And honestly, what's his name? Winter Soldier. Have him play.
Sebastian Stan.
Sebastian Stan. Hell, coming in.
Yeah.
He's the right age, man. He's the right age. That would be dope
as
hell.
I feel like now we're fantasizing.
He's already in the Disney Plus
comic. Well, no, here's the thing, though, Kevin.
There's no limit with this show.
Yeah, people have been kind of like, I don't think as hardcore asking for that as they did for Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka, but that was like fan casting for years, and
really?
We finally got that. So, like that wasn't just like a random thing. Like, people have been asking for that, and so like they could go all out and like do another moment like that. I think it would be a little tougher with a character that was already live action with a very famous actor who like made that role. So I don't know if they'd be as confident doing that, but like they are.
They already did it. Mm. They did it with Han, right? Disney doesn't give a fuck. They don't give a shit. They're just doing stuff.
People think that movie didn't. It personally works for me.
I know. It's recognize their bad problem. Taste though.
I recognize that there are problems with that movie, but I personally enjoy it. I don't think Alden Ehrenreich was the problem with that movie. Anyway.
Back to Mando.
I'm just so reminded that I keep talking about Star Wars with Kevin.
I love you, Barrett. Rogue One's great, though, right? We can both agree on that, right?
No, we can't.
God, he's such a bad guy, Kevin. Such a little fuck.
What?
Oh, man.
Oh, well, what was the... there was a term from Queen's Gambit that was really funny, and I forget. It was something... it was like such ferocious little fuck or something like that said, and I just loved it, and I want to keep using that.
Something else I really enjoyed about this episode is it continued the tradition of it feeling like a video game. Like, I didn't expect Mando to get a new weapon, but
yeah,
he
that was dope as hell.
So now he can just carry that around, though. Spear. Yeah, is he going to melt it down, or is he going to use it?
No, I feel like I wish it collapsed a little bit.
Yeah,
he's going to do something with it. Like, it's going to be used for something.
Yeah, he's going to stab someone
epic
in the throat.
Mm-hmm. Damn right. But it's hard to transport and just walk around with.
But doesn't he have a big thing on his back already?
Yeah,
he's got like he's got like the pokey electric thing that also shoots people and blows them up in one shot.
Isn't that his
that's
gun?
The long thing.
Yeah, it's in
it is
also
a gun, but it can also like electrocute people at the tips.
Yeah, he used it
shit
in like the second episode to like electrocute a giant whale, space whale.
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked about this because I love that he's just continuously upgrading and like the fact that all the Beskar stuff pays off this season that was built up last season.
Can we talk about like the fight scene where he first meets Ahsoka. And like he's just blocking with his arms and it's like that's so cool, sick
because it's pure Beskar and stuff. Now some David. Rahues in the chat says he'll use it for his fight against Gus Fring. That's a cool setup there because he's got the black saber or the dark saber, the fight within this episode was really I liked how it was used, and I liked the setup of like Mando using his armor and then the lady being able to the magistrate being able to use the spear. I could definitely see
dark
that
saber versus that Beskar spear, that sounds pretty badass. I would love
it sounds
to
so
that
cool because they're both Mando weapons too, so it's just like Filoni
do you think we get a shot
Filoni's
of like
on a fucking another level, y'all.
Do we think we get a shot of him like top level Mandalorian with Mandalorian spear, the black saber? I don't know. Is there some sort of shield that he can get that's also Mandalorian? I guess
maybe
the armor he has.
Like we've got a Beskar spear, so he could get a Beskar shield or something.
All Beskar everything.
I got some nerd ass questions for you, nerd ass motherfuckers, Chastity and Barrett. When it comes to Clone Wars and Rebels, Kevin, I just know you don't have the answer.
I can just Google it, Tim. I can just Google it.
You refuse to watch the shows. You can't answer questions.
I've never said I refuse to watch it.
Ahsoka's lightsabers. Two questions. One, why are they white? No, two, three questions. One, why are they white? Two, why are they so skinny? And three, why?
You should have seen my marbles.
How did she like pull them apart? Like, how do they
that
go together?
Tight.
And
that was tight.
It's cool, but it's, I don't understand
make any
how
sense,
it works.
Yeah.
So she's always had two lightsabers. The white sabers are more recent, but they're still her like trademark sabers. And she's always, and I like that they had the one long one and the one Shoto, the shorter one. So like they kept that detail. And
that's
I think
cool
the
fuck
book the book Ahsoka goes into exactly why she has white lightsabers. Mm-hmm. Do you want to go into that more, Barrett? Like
I have not read the book, I do not know. They are shown in Rebels, but I don't think they go into why she has them in Rebels. So she's
but
had
they
them
are
for
her
a
lightsabers.
Bit. Yeah. Yeah. I love the little detail of it being the she still had the shorter one,
does the white have to do with the whole gray thing?
Possibly.
It had something to do with kyber crystals, and I think she stole some that and then did something with it to make them white.
Okay, yeah.
What I was really asking, though, is they're not like the dark saber is special. These aren't white special.
No, these
she
are just
basically
like,
modded
just
them.
Okay.
But she's always had two.
Are these hilts still, are these the same ones that Anakin gifted her at the end of Clone Wars?
Were they white? They might have been.
They
were
white. She might have swapped out the crystals.
Yeah.
Is what I'm asking. Because, yeah. Those
and then
blue.
She drops one and he finds it in that shot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But she could have kept the other one and just made a second one. Made a new.
But why are they so skinny? That's my other question.
They're skinnier in Rebels.
I want to say that was probably a choice because they're of how actually, skinnier they are in Rebels. Which is like, I do like the animation style in both shows. That is my one thing about Rebels. Is like, they're so, like, almost awkwardly skinny in that show that it's kind of off-putting. But you get used to it.
In canon, they like the blades are different width. It just haven't been super explored in the actual movies. But we have seen, obviously, we know Kylo Ren has the like corrupted one that like does the on the blade. Wait, what?
I'm just looking up. I'm
sorry I couldn't answer your question, Tim, because I didn't read the book.
It's fine.
I don't read a lot of
books. Reading for nerds. I agree with everyone.
More special.
I don't read
than
a lot of the books,
color.
But I gave you a starting point.
But I just YouTubed the Darth Maul Obi-Wan fight that I've seen before. And
from Rebels?
Yeah. And like, oh my God, Kevin, I'm gonna send you a link to this. And then
are you looking at the lightsabers?
Yeah.
You're looking at the
lightsabers. So really thin.
Yeah. They're so thin. They're like needles.
It looks like a joke.
Fun fact, that was I think the actual first thing I pulled up on Disney Plus. I pulled up that episode and
Twin
I watched
Sons?
That episode.
Yeah.
Kev, go to 1 minute 13 seconds. Like what?
The first time we see lightsabers, they're pretty thin in
A New Hope.
Yeah.
But yeah, wow, that's pretty funny.
This is like noticeably thin. Yeah.
It has different settings. They can change the settings on the lightsabers.
Mm. That's true.
Oh, that's the wrong one.
Anyway. I'm really stoked about this episode. Do you guys have any closing thoughts?
We didn't talk about Thrawn.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Thrawn?
Oh my God.
There's so much I want to say, but again, I want people to watch Rebels, so I don't want to spoil things for people.
But like,
we
but essentially,
give some base
going,
level
you know?
Stuff.
There's a character that Thrawn is with. The last time we've seen Thrawn in a show, he is with a specific character. And I believe that Ahsoka is trying to find, like that, Thrawn was last seen with this character, and I think that's the person Ahsoka is really trying to find. And so, again, that's why I think this is a setup episode, because I think this is like a backdoor pilot to another Ahsoka show in search for this character specifically. Yeah. And
I think it's safe to say that, like, that she was with another character, and who is a Mandalorian.
Yes. We did get Sabine vagueness. This episode, which was my first thought when the episode ended. But I don't mind it too much, but because they can explain it of like maybe Sabine is going after another lead and stuff like that. I do question if we'll actually get her in this show. That'll be.
I'd like to see her again, regardless if it's this show or not.
And I wonder if Ahsoka even comes back to this show.
I hope she does.
I don't know.
I hope she does.
I don't think it'll be much. I don't think it'll be much.
I don't love how much like they made Yodelini. Like they gave him like a he's been around for a while. People have been teaching him stuff. It's like man, last episode he had trouble connecting different colored plugs.
He's not a technician, Kevin.
And I am. And I am. You know what I mean?
I
had a similar like reaction
to
you.
They didn't have that class at the Jedi Temple.
But didn't say that he had training. It just said he was there.
I thought they said he was trained by several people.
He was trained by several Jedi.
Masters.
But I think that it, like the read I had from it with the, because I went back with subtitles to like see it all, it sounded less like he was actually being formally trained. It's just that he had, like, why would he have a couple different masters? I think it was more like he was around them and like learned some shit, but like.
He watched them do shit and he was like,
When we saw the youngling classes, like Yoda was teaching a class, I'm sure there were other teachers that for like different subjects and things like that.
Yeah,
like,
but I feel like we've seen him in a class where he's just like sitting there like, sucking on an eraser or something. It's just like I feel like I wish they were
stealing
doing it
kids'
better.
Macarons.
Right. I wish they had just done a slightly better
store.
Really?
Yeah.
They're like $50.
Oh my god! Fuck
Holy
that!
Shit.
Just make your own, Jesus.
I just kind of wish they had done a better job at like aging him up slightly. Just because, like, I'm ready for him to start trying to talk. You know what I mean?
His baby.
I think
he starts talking, he can't stop talking, you know?
I think we
so
might...
cute. Look at him.
Oh no.
I don't like that.
I don't like that. That went too far.
Put it back. I think we could get like a first word or two in this show, maybe.
All right, and then the next season starts 200 years in the future. Mando's dead. This little guy's now
said
talking
something
about
hella racist, you know? And it's like, oh shit, stop, Yoda.
So yeah, just the name drop of Thrawn was really exciting. And again, it leads to questions of if they do a separate Ahsoka show, is that live action? Is it animated? I'd prefer it be animated. But there's someone was already like fan casting Thrawn. One of the one for like live action. One of the ones was Benedict Cumberbatch, and it was like, all right, well, he already did that Star Trek kind of.
He'd be perfect.
He's good, and he could pull off the look, I think. But yeah, it's really interesting, the implications. I feel like Filoni is building up to something else that I don't think we'll see in this show, which was what I was kind of expecting. I wasn't expecting Ahsoka to be a major player in the show overall. I thought she would deliver some important overall lore stuff, you know, continue Mando's story, but I didn't think she would like start to be like a main character in this show. The other thing I want to shout out, or there's two last things. I just want to shout out that fight between Ahsoka and the Magistrate, just because it felt like a good combination of a prequel choreographed fight and like the original trilogy fights, where it was definitely choreographed. These looked like trained fighters, which is like more of what we see in the prequel movies, but it felt more slow, methodical, like the original trilogy, which is why I really dug it. And then the last thing I want to shout out is, of course, why can't I find
the owl?
Yes, the name of the owl.
Morai.
Which is a connection to some crazy, weird ass lore from Star Wars: The Clone Wars. There's this owl that you see in a shot right before Mando meets Ahsoka.
He's walking through the forest. It's in the top left, 15 minutes, 31 seconds. Okay. There's the owl.
So the last time we saw the owl, I think, was in Rebels. The owl kind of looks out for Ahsoka, helped Ezra kind of save Ahsoka at one point in Rebels. And it's kind of insinuated that the owl is connected to the daughter from Star Wars: The Clone Wars. Really nerdy shit that we don't really need to get into. But the fact that the owl is there, obviously, because Filoni's all up in this. He wanted to continue that thread of the owl kind of overlooking Ahsoka, which again makes me feel like Filoni is building up to something major with Ahsoka in a separate thing, because there's got to be a payoff with why this owl deems Ahsoka important and why the owl like kind of like wants to like keep tabs on her.
Why does Sabine have the owl painted on her armor?
I am not sure.
You know what I'm talking
really
about?
Remember.
In the last episode?
Is it the same owl?
I mean, it's an owl. I don't know how many. Like, I feel like we don't see owls trapped too much in Star Wars.
Also, it's called a convor, but that's just nerdy shit. But yeah, this owl owned. That's like a magical owl, but it's been protecting Ahsoka her entire life, and I completely agree that this felt like Filoni just pitching his pilot. I'm like, here's my pilot, let's go. Yeah. And
oh,
like, cool.
I did mean Bo-Katan.
Everyone loved it.
Not Sabine.
Okay, yeah, I was confused. Also.
Sorry about that.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't even know who Sabine is.
I think that was just her. I think Bo-Katan's thing is just like her like clan's crest or something. I forget.
Got it.
Mon Mage says the owl's the Night Watch symbol.
Oh, yeah.
Different owl.
Which is different from Death Watch.
No, she was part of Death Watch.
Yeah. So, she was in Death Watch. Yeah. So not Night's Watch.
Bo-Katan?
Yeah.
Kevin, every time you say a character's name, like, why is Bo-Katan. Are you always so unsure?
It's Bo-Katan.
Bo-Katan.
She was originally part of Death Watch, and then she left. Where that happens, I'm a little hazy because it's been a minute since I've rewatched the shows, which I want to do soon. I kind of want to rewatch or going through Mandalorian this season has been making me more and more want to do a full Star Wars canon rewatch this Christmas break, which I think I'm going to do. I've been speaking of hesitant breaks. About doing that for episode because of episode 9, but that's about it.
Let's get back to our breaks, everybody. Have a good Thanksgiving weekend out there. Thank you guys for spending some time talking about this stuff. It was awesome. Till next week. Love you guys. Bye.
Bye.